Okay, it is 6 p.m. on Monday, March 27th of 2017, so we will begin the Village of Alloway Plan Commission meeting with the call to order. Wheeler?
Here.
Hanson?
Here.
Rob?
Here.
Kornowski is here. Retzloff?
Here.
Noor?
Here.
Okay, moving on to item number two, modify or adopt the existing agenda. Does anybody have any modifications? And if not, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to adopt.
Second.
So motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Agenda carries. Item number three, minutes from February 27th, 2017. Does anybody have any modifications?
Move to approve.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Minutes are good. Item number four, announcements. I had one question. I don't believe that anything we talked about on February 27th went to the board yet, did it? As far as those plan approvals, or was that last, was this last week Tuesday, or?
Part of it has.
Okay.
And part of it will be tomorrow night.
Which part went, sorry?
Let's see. The surgical center was on the 7th, I believe. And then the CP and the zoning amendment and the rezoning, because they needed a public hearing, that would be tomorrow night.
What happened with the surgical center?
They got approved.
Okay. Was there anything else on that village board or at that village board meeting that would be pertinent for us to hear an update on?
Last week, the board discussed the bicycle and pedestrian plan and approved it, and then tomorrow night they will be adopting or taking action on the resolution formally adopting the plan.
Anything else? Those are two good updates. You got anything else? Keep pulling it out of
you. Making cross numbers.
I don't know, Brad, do you have anything else? No.
How are we doing on everybody accepting the meeting invites?
Better, yeah.
Okay.
Carrie is still a maternity leave. And so it's something we're just trying to get used to internally as well. So,
okay.
Remembering to check her email as well.
Great. Any announcements for any plan commissioners? Okay, we'll move on to item number five, public appearances. If there's anybody from the public that would like to address the plan commission, please step up to the podium and state your name and address.
Sorry, but one more thing. I just want to, before I drop the issue, if you haven't already, you have the zoning code book. If you want to pick one up, I know last time we got busy at the end. You didn't get a chance. Sign out. And I won't bring this up again, but know that they're in my office if you'd like to reference them.
What's the due date before we get a fee? Or a fine? They don't have to come back to you? There's
no.
Not a...
Well, just whenever you you retire from that.
You strongly encourage us to turn in after we get done. Okay. Yep. Thanks. You're good.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was the former co-chair of the Bike Ped Committee before the village board removed me from it for speaking up on behalf of pedestrians. I would like the plan commission to take a stronger role in planning for the village. Currently, there's a set of negotiators for the village and the public works department that decide what goes on in the village with regards to planning, and really that function belongs with this committee. So I object to the negotiators using the plan development district process to circumvent and get around the zoning code that's currently in place. The negotiators don't like the zoning code as it's written, so they use the plan development district to put apartment complexes in commercial districts. And when they do that, they redesignate it wrongfully as a plan development district. But once they designated a plan development district, they're then required by state statute to make pedestrian accommodations. And specifically, they're required to provide for a safe and efficient system for pedestrian vehicular traffic and attractive recreation and landscaped open spaces. So my complaint is that the old Chapel Hill development has now had the Arboretum Trail removed by the Public Works Department. There's no plan to make pedestrian accommodations at all. It was removed by the Public Works Department. There's no plans to do it in the next 4 years. It doesn't show up on any of the plans. There's no budget for putting a sidewalk in there. And that is something that changing that plan belongs with this committee, not with the Public Works Committee. So I object to, I work on that street. I see a lot of people handicapped. We have a handicapped store right there, right at that street. We have people in wheelchairs going up and down that street on the motorized wheelchairs. There needs to be accommodations for pedestrians and for the disabled and for the elderly to get along a safely use West St. Joseph Street at Riverside Drive, and then also to get down to the Fox River Trail, which is one of the great assets that we have in the community. And there's no legal way for the elderly or the handicapped to get down to the trail without having to go miles out of the way. In fact, some of the handicapped need to take a taxi in order to cross the road. Over by the reformatory, they want to use the trail. They can't get across, so they have to hire a taxi to get them across the road because it's so unsafe. So I would like this committee to take a more active role in making sure that the plan development district process is not used to get around the zoning code, and also to make sure that if it is used to get around the zoning code, any new developments include pedestrian access for the handicapped, even though it may be more expensive to put ADA facilities in. That's the law of the land, and it needs to be complied with. It's important that we make our public facilities accessible to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 6, action regarding 2016 Alloway Plan Commission annual report. Trevor had emailed this to all of us. I hope everybody had a chance to kind of look through it. I know there, I believe we were going to, or maybe it was Roger that was going to send some notes as far as the...
Yeah, I didn't get the
grammatical or anything that you wanted to change in there. So if anybody has any comments, certainly. I don't believe there's a deadline to get this approved, but...
I think in Trevor's email, he said the only addition was that one paragraph. I mean, versus what we saw in January. I mean, I just had a copy of what we saw in January. You'd added a paragraph.
Sure.
To identify or to highlight the positions we took or the recommendations that we took and you know, how they were received by the village board. Yeah, that's the new paragraph.
Okay. What's our goal with this report? Is it just kind of a history of what we've done? Or is it looking to the future? I like the opportunities to improve. I think that's good. I don't know where that came from, but I think it's always good to get feedback on if they're the village board or even staff, if there was something that they thought that we should improve upon. I think that's good. But if it's a plan forward, I don't know if this is the vehicle to have that plan forward in, but I definitely think it's a good idea to have some of the stuff you have in your recommended initiatives or on the previous page, you have assigned tasks. Not that I want to over-report, but I guess what is the goal of this report? It has been discussed in the past as to what the goal is.
Sure. I think it's providing an opportunity for the residents to see what the Plan Commission does, but it also gives a dialogue between the Plan Commission and the Village Board. And that summary that was added on the second page there kind of gives a scoreboard, and you can see how the Plan Commission and Village Board agreed with each other, I think, 5 out of 6 times or something like that.
Yeah, that's good. That's, yeah,
so
absolutely.
So ensuring that as we move forward, our goals are consistent with what the Village Board expects.
And I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at. I don't know if it's trying to decide whether or not it's the Plan Commission that should be driving what the Plan Commission recommended initiatives are, or if it's the Village Board through their strategic planning work dictates what the Plan Commission works on. So what has the discussion been at the Village Board level when they see this annual report? Is it, oh, that's nice, or, yeah, this is something we want them to work on over the next year? Because really it's them that provide the policy direction. So I guess recommended initiatives, recommended future tasks, examine multi-jurisdictional tax income and finance districts. Did they come up with that? That sounds cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, is that something that's real?
It is.
Has the Village Board said we want to pursue
multi-jurisdictional
tax
income?
I understand it's a real thing, but is it a real priority, I guess? Because there's a lot in here.
Sure.
And, you know, if we knocked off 2 of these things, whether it's the recommended initiatives or recommended future task initiatives, I think that'd be really good. So what's priority, I guess, is what I'm asking when we're forward-looking through this report. So we have some direction.
Yeah, so maybe send it to the Village Board and then bring it back.
I don't think we got to throw the baby out with the bathwater with the report. I think the report is fine. I'm just asking for maybe future guidance, some sort of mechanism as to feedback from the Village Board.
Okay. Like in the form of when they, for example, when they maybe make a motion to approve the annual report, they kind of
highlight.
They might call out two things that they would really like the Plan Commission to focus on.
Right, and I think that would, I'd assume that would help you.
Right.
You know, if their priority is to look at multi-jurisdictional tax and finance, then we get it on the agenda and
sure.
We start the discussion. And we kind of did that with the rezoning last year, or 2 years ago. That was on a recommended initiative to move forward. And, you know, that's what we focused on, and that's what we kind of went through. So I don't know what out of these recommended initiatives the Village Board really wants us to focus on.
Sure.
I think that's a good idea. If we get feedback from the Village Board, then you know, we can kind of think about it in our spare time, whenever that might be, and It might spark some ideas for, agenda items when we get to the last item, agenda items, and rather than just, it might trigger some kind of ideas if we get feedback. Like, yeah, okay, so what can we do with that next time I'm, whatever I'm doing today. I used to be running. I would think about stuff while I was running because I'd run for an hour or two at a time. But now I'm an old guy with a bad back, so I walk. But yeah, feedback so we can kind of create some of our own agenda items based on their input.
little more direction from the village board.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that we're not, you know, that we're making the best opportunity of our time and our, you know, the task that we're charged with here, you know, make sure we're doing it.
Right. So, for example, we have this meeting tonight where we're talking. We only have a few things on the agenda, which is nice sometimes. Discussion of the zoning code project, that will probably take 10, 15 minutes. But if there's another item that we should be talking about, that should be on the agenda tonight. We have a light agenda, so is it, you know, examining development design guidelines for the TID. It's starting that process. So nothing wrong, just more. When you bring this to the village board, if you could just echo those concerns or whatever else. Or unless anybody else thinks otherwise.
No, I think that's a great idea to help us prioritize what we should be working on first. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of, that list has got a lot of good things on it, but we can't do them all at once. Be a little overwhelming. So what's the next best step we should be taking?
That was actually the original intention of the annual report, was to, because there are things that the village board can send to the plan commission, but the plan commission's principal role is to ensure that the goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan are being appropriately administered in the village. The annual report is kind of just to justify what we're doing along those lines. Probably what it doesn't do as well as it should is to relate the things we do specifically to how our comp plan is set up. And, you know, when we first started doing an annual report, when Chris Colano was the chair of the Plan Commission, and he brought the idea forward as a suggestion. It was to, you know, have some sort of assessment tool that we could examine and that the village board could examine. So it is a communication tool principally to the village board saying, you know, this is what we're doing and, you know, is there something else you want us to do and is this acceptable? So that's, you know, the question is it written and presented in a format that can elicit the appropriate response we're looking for from the village board? The other thing I think might be missing from this is an assessment tool for the other committees in the village. We just heard a complaint from a resident that Public Works is making decisions that countermand some of the precepts of the plan, of the comprehensive plan, which is to promote pedestrian activity. Now, we don't know that in fact because when Public Works does a design for a street reconstruction, they don't come to us and say, this is what we're doing and this is how it complies with the goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan. They just mostly do it based on what we've got, and you know, so there's no real assessment process between us or the village board. You know, I don't think they get a chance to really review what the overall situation is. A street like St. Joseph's, it's a primary thoroughfare, it's a major street in our village. It really should get a really thorough public airing by the entire village, some sort of public information meeting, hearing, or whatever, to say, is this really the design we should have, or does the people in the village want something more or less? So those are some things we could do with the annual report that we aren't doing now. But it's a great tool also for the staff person. Provides, you know, when we talk about recommended initiatives, future tasks, and everything, provides an outline for Trevor to plan out what we're going to do for the year. So.
the discussion that Roger just had, this dialogue about our mandate being to support and make sure we're in compliance with the comp plan. And he's, you know, there's an example of where that doesn't happen, where that's not taking place. So that could be an action item. I mean, I heard that as an action item, as an agenda item for us, or for something for staff to pass on and to start the process of seeing if we could have Public Works come before us, taking a more active role. Otherwise, we talk about it, and then there's a full agenda next week and next month, and it doesn't happen. So I think it's incumbent on us to try and be a little more proactive and recommending stuff get done.
Okay. Well, for the sake of what's in front of us, I'm okay with a report. It's written. I think Trevor and Brad understand what we're saying. Mm-hmm. It's not lost on anybody if we approve this. It's up to you, but I think we can move forward with this, and then with the understanding that we're going to get more clear direction from the village board. Or maybe next meeting we just have a couple of these items after it's been approved that the village board really wants us to peck off.
Sure.
Okay. So anybody has any changes to the report? I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to recommend approval of to approve the report for submittal to the village board, and request prioritization of the action items by the village board for inclusion in future meetings or agenda.
I'll second that.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. It's approved with that condition. Did you catch all that, Trevor?
I hope the recording did.
That's why we have a recording.
There you go. Approval, and we're looking for prioritization.
Okay. Yep, and that's rolling though, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I didn't second guess you.
We're legal.
You got a green light and a red light.
Yeah, everything's there. Everything's on. Item number 7, discussion of zoning code project. Is this an update as to where we're at, or?
Yeah, and just to kind of continue the discussion, Becky Roberts from Center of Land Use Education recommended that maybe the next steps be us doing a self-audit on ourselves of different things. And so I included in the memo a list of questions that maybe we should be asking ourselves, as well as that report that was done by UWGB students back in 2010, comparing the comprehensive plan with our zoning code. And I think the findings that the students talked about, none of them are too alarming. I think everyone is pretty well aware of, there's setback issues, there's issues with rezoning and some of the streetscaping and road design discussions that Roger and Howard, that's an opportunity to incorporate street design in the zoning code. I know other municipalities include that. So Becky provided a list of the next steps. Review your comprehensive plan. We've done that. We've actually updated it. And I think everyone's pretty familiar with it. The students have done it, 2010 in that report. We've talked about our development history, the use of PDDs, and the use of variances. We've gone over those numbers in the past. I have them here if you'd like to discuss them again. And then we're at the review your zoning ordinance. And so I was kind of going to open it up to you and just see what things are not included in the zoning ordinance that you would like to see. So street design might be one.
Well, we have no provision for mixed-use zoning. So we should definitely have that because it's called for in the comp plan. We also have existing non-conforming uses, especially in an older commercial district. And we dealt with that on a couple of occasions with one particular applicant this year. And it's a deficiency in our zoning code that doesn't accommodate what we've got because we just took the village at some point just took a standard zoning code and with little modification adapted it, and it was really meant, it's a code that's meant for development of new platted but traditional mid-20th century type zoning, and a lot of the principles behind zoning and development have changed over the last 40 years. A lot more emphasis on, for instance, our zoning code really does not accommodate, make any accommodations for pedestrian or bicycle use as transport modes. It mainly allows for a very low density development. How do we allow for a truly high density development of a mixed use character? How do we preserve our historic neighborhoods and resources? Lots of other questions that can be dealt with through a revamping of the zoning code. But it's, as I've maintained before, it's a highly technical policy document, and it's we really need people who know, how to reformat or redevelop a zoning code, to come in and provide us with guidance for that. I don't believe we can do it as just citizen members of boards.
I completely agree. And one more thing on that is when you're starting to talk about zoning and use of people's land, mm-hmm. it can become very political. Mm-hmm. And exactly. So it would be nice and helpful to have a third party recommend some of these things.
So what do most municipalities do then? They just hire a consultant or a third party to come in and make recommendations.
Correct. And these things, Wes, I believe you said you went through this before. This is a very time-consuming project. It's
multi-year.
So we have $3,900 set aside in the budget this year to start this. Not a whole lot, but it's a start. It's something to start off with that we can build off of next year. I think we discussed in the past is we're probably looking at around $60,000.
So what can we get for $3,900?
Yeah, that's my question too. I don't know what, it's nice to have a placeholder because it keeps it in the budget, but I don't know.
Like, is there some initial preparatory work that could be done for a very small fee, or just having somebody on retainer, or I don't know.
Is there somebody that maybe would come visit with us just as a one-time thing, just to kind of tell us what the process is and with some guidelines or some sort of an outline that we can look at?
Mm-hmm. Well, we can certainly have Becky Roberts come back. We have someone from Brown County, but we could utilize that $3,900 to have someone do a preliminary review of
of what we should be looking at.
I think your money might better be spent to find a consultant who could help you develop a process of requests for proposal. You know, who can help identify the sort of consultants you want to hire, you'd want to hire for this type of work, and maybe format some questionnaires for the various boards in the village. You know, $3,900 is a fairly limited amount of money, and I think it'll probably only get you to the doorstep of sending out RFPs.
Do we need to know before we get an RFP and get somebody on board to help us with this? Do we need to go back even a step farther to determine whether the type of code, like the form? I remember, Roger, you sent out some information a while back about form-based codes, and I mean, if we want to even change the format that our code is in.
But that can all be part of the consulting contract, is to assess to make a formal assessment of the existing code, zoning code, and what's out there, what other communities have done. So it's a phased process, you know. What do communities like ours do when they're faced with, it's really a question of adjusting our code so we have greater potential for development and prosperity and sustainability in the future. So, because a code like this ends up really being far more restrictive to development than helpful.
Do we know if, like, the village of Howard or Bellevue or any of the area, other villages have gone through this process or anything like that? Because maybe that they could be a good resource to reach out to, similar kind of situations. Maybe they've gone through this and we can, you know, pick their brain about it. Something.
Yeah, that'd be helpful to look at.
Because I know, like the village of Howard, they have a lot of expansion and new businesses and kind of growth happening over there. So maybe this is something that they've dealt with recently. I don't know, but there seem to be a lot of growth potential in that area. So maybe they've gone through this. I don't know.
And Alloy is so unique because when you're looking at Howard and Bellevue, it's so much greenfield development. Whereas our problem, and I think that's maybe where we're in good place too, is because a lot of the village is residential, and that's not going to change. I think there's a few target areas where we need to focus our zoning efforts, if there's some way to do it. If we're not going to get the budget that's going to be necessary to go through an entirely new comprehensive new zoning code, we have the mixed-use problem. That's a big problem that we know about right now in our major corridors. But it's all going to be infill.
Right.
In the next 50 years. I mean, it's all going to be teardowns, and that's different.
Yeah, that's, I mean, something you want to be prepared for because
right. It's coming.
There have been a couple of situations where people have started to reclaim land or purchased an additional lot, torn down a house, you know, to expand their property.
Mm-hmm.
And with the right situation of development in the city of Green Bay,
right,
Alloway is ripe for that kind of activity and ripe for developers to be willing to buy up wholesale areas of residences and pursue redevelopment.
That's a great point. I was thinking about that also, the city of Green Bay. Do you know if they have a ward by ward kind of zoning plan? Because the village of Alloway's housing stock is old.
Right.
And it's probably about the same age as a lot of the old housing stock in Green Bay, in your Astor Park areas and areas like that. So to pick Green Bay's brain a little bit, as to how they've dealt with the infill or how they've dealt with redevelopment on like Main Crossing or Old Main over in that area. There used to be old homes and now they're turning them into businesses and things like that. That might be more our speed as far as what's going to happen in Alloway. Now, it's hard to predict the future, but I think we all can agree the housing stock is relatively old in Alloway. And it's probably more reminiscent of downtown Green Bay than it is some of our newer communities. Like, De Pere's got pretty new housing stock with their development at, you know, Ledgeview area and all that. So, just trying to think of good examples of people to talk to.
Well, you could invite the Planning and Economic Development Director of Green Bay here to, you know, speak to the issue of zoning codes and how, you know, because we have such a important relationship,
right.
And for perhaps the peer too, to for them to air their views on the zoning code and talk and just provide information on what they view as important in zoning these days.
Yeah, hopefully in the spirit of cooperation and not competition, because the first thought that comes to my mind is who goes to the, what are developers that are going to the people in the city of Green Bay saying when they want to redevelop in a place like Astor Park, or they want to, in De Pere, when they want to redevelop downtown De Pere, what are the developers saying to the cities? Because that's what we want, that's the kind of information we might need in order to make good decisions in our zoning code for development of the future in an infill state.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my number one concern, is the infill development, and we're not ready for it in the zoning code as it is today. But besides that, do you guys have any other ideas on other zoning issues?
I think incorporating some street design in would be a good idea, having some consistency in how we address types of streets in various areas of the city.
Part of this is also looking at our land use map and deciding that the way we are is the way we want to stay. And some of what we have in our zoning code, our current official map, and again going back to this this older combined residential, industrial, commercial district we've got, the code intentionally was trying to force a kind of redevelopment in that area. You know, it considers the north end of Webster Avenue a blighted area by default. So, and is that what we really want to believe about this part of our village, or do we want to say, you know, there's a lot of potential here that we can shepherd into maybe a higher quality way of doing it. I look at is it the Save You Foods? Or you know, their parking lot. They never need all of that parking. You know, why can't we employ some TIF money and work with them on developing some landscape development along there and just improve that character?
Mm-hmm.
More attractive for the store, more inviting for the store. And improving the entrance quality in Alloway. So, you know, things like that. But zoning has a direct relationship on economic development. So.
I agree. So what I'm hearing is what I'll do is reach out to some of the neighbor municipalities, gather some information that way. I was certainly thinking the RFP direction too, so that's something we should maybe consider down the road after we maybe gather some more information. So,
yeah, the RFP, that's definitely the direction you want to go. I just caution, be careful with an RFP process if you don't have budgeted funds.
because consultants will ask that question, whether or not the project is budgeted, and then you'll get an RFP response that's directly correlated to the amount of money that you have budgeted. So if you don't have any money budgeted, it might be two pages, and you might not get a lot out of it. If you do have money budgeted, then they'll take it seriously and actually give you a proposal. So we got to be committed. So I think probably the first step is reaching out to our neighbor municipality to see if they will talk to us and enlighten us a little bit as to what they've done. And then we can be more, I guess, because we have to be direct to the village board with our recommendation on how to move forward with this. And I apologize, I haven't been to a village board meeting where they discussed this, but I don't know what their temperature is on it. Maybe you could answer that question.
I think they know something's wrong. I think that's why they put the money in the budget. I'd like it to be a little bit more immediate, you know, but likely this isn't a project that will get started on anytime this year. It's something we'll be looking forward to next year on. As far as actually soliciting someone, because like you said, we need some budgeted funds. So without the village board's buying.
Yeah.
We also need to know what we want, which is the first steps that you were talking about to get feedback from other communities. Otherwise, we're not going to know if the RFP is going to meet our needs if we don't know what our needs are, and we'll be sold something, you know, because it looks good. It's always a risk.
The other thing is, based on how long this is likely to take for the zoning code, isn't it true that we have to update our comprehensive plan every 5 years?
Every 10.
10?
Yes.
Okay. So our next update would be?
2025. Four. Somewhere around there.
Okay.
But to answer your question, Wes, I think the recent development projects and zoning, rezoning petitions have maybe brought to light some of the issues to the board's attention, you know, more than maybe they knew of before. So I will I'll do some homework, and there's some deer right behind you, and we can talk about it more at the next meeting, and maybe have someone from DePere or Green Bay.
Do you feel like you got enough direction from us? Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
For more green space. They don't want anymore.
Okay. Any more discussion on the zoning code project? All right. Item number 8, update of village development projects.
Kind of ran through those in the beginning of the meeting. That's pretty much it. So,
when is the surgical center planning on starting?
June. And
how long do they think it'll take?
They believe they'll be completed in February.
Now, is that going to run concurrently with the CP centers?
It will, yes. So, the first few months, the CP, so if the CP gets approval tomorrow night, they will begin first thing in April, spend the first two to three months putting in utilities and everything, so ripping up that shared road. That's going to be a mess, but I think after that, then they're going to be kind of out in each other's space for the most part. They're still going to be kind of working in tight quarters, but that's going to be the majority of the coordination efforts will be in the early stages. So the CP Center, they get approval tomorrow night, begin in April. They expect it to be a year project and complete in April, so next year. The housing project on St. Joseph and Riverside Drive, they are still shooting for the January 1, 2018 deadline. They expect to have some units occupied this summer, so that's pretty exciting.
And then we are still working on that great streetscape design for Webster Avenue, a portion to St. Joseph. And those funds are, that's a project that's called out in our TIF project plan. So there are funds available for that. It's just, we got to do our due diligence to make sure that the, like you said, Roger, that we're filling the need of the community and what they want for that, that space. So I imagine when we get closer to that, we'll have some public input.
Yeah, speaking of that, I maybe completely missed it for some reason, but what about the stadium tax money? Is that, is there,
Greg, you wanna,
has there been a decision on that? Or?
Excuse me. $500,000 of the funds went for street work.
Okay.
$100,000 was designated for a pedestrian crossing on Riverside Drive on the north side of the village.
Okay.
And another one on the south side of the village. And the remainder of the funds were to be used for some of the weight mining sites throughout the community. Now, the south crossing, it appears that it will be put into the DOT's budget, and they will be paying for it. So we may have some additional funds left over that we could utilize for potentially maybe the rezone or rewriting the code, as suggested earlier in the discussion. So.
Was the with the $500,000 going to streets, is that going to be spent this next fiscal year or
this year?
This fiscal year.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just awarded the bids last meeting. $2.3 million worth of street work.
None of it's bonded. It's all.
Yes.
It is.
Some of it's bonded.
Okay. Okay, anything else on development projects? You sold any of the buildings that LA owns or anything like that going on?
No.
Okay.
I might have more for you at the next meeting where.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing solid, nothing submitted yet, but discussions.
I maybe you should have announced this earlier, but. At the last village board meeting, they did approve some funding for a 10 to 20 hour a week intern to help with some of the marketing aspect of the village. So we really wanted to start to push, obviously, the business aspect, the communications within the community itself, amongst a lot of other things that will be placed upon this plate of 10 to 20 hours a week. But the goal is that Marissa, we've met with and it's accepted, we'll get started the first part of April. So she's a communications marketing major at GB. And she's local, so which is really nice. And I guess the other aspect is we do have our code enforcement officer. We'll start on April 5th. As Mark left at the beginning of the year, it's been vacant, but I did hire an individual, an alley resident, was former DNR, so in water quality. So looking forward to getting Charlie started and involved in the community in a different fashion.
Okay. Good. Anything else?
No.
I keep asking, man. There's more that comes out, so. Okay. Item number 9, next meeting date and agenda items. Let's keep this zoning code project on the agenda and maybe give us an update on your communications with any of our neighboring communities if you're able to have them.
Sure.
And I'm trying to think if there's...
We'll have a more formal discussion leading to a resolution asking for formal presentations from the Department of Public Works regarding design of any major thoroughfare in the street prior to initiating costing.
So. Yeah,
I like that idea.
Above a certain ADT, or
yeah, what do you want to do as far as every street, or do you want to do?
Well, no, major thoroughfares. So not necessarily every neighborhood street. I mean, it'd be nice to get a report.
Yeah.
On what's being done, which streets are being repaved or whatever. I mean, but I think you know, a street like St. Joseph's or Webster or
Riverside.
Right. In progress on implementing SRTS projects, mm-hmm. you know, all of those issues, I think, would be good for us to be informed about. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard for us as citizens to take the time to and study and you know, try to dig up the information, you know, and I really know how hard some of this is. I happen to have some background in design and engineering, so, you know, I have some familiarity with it, but, you know, I'm not going to be here that long, so it's, we need more communication to this board because, you know, and more if there's anything that you need to do study, really, it's that comp plan. And understand the goals and objectives that are in the comp plan. And when you come to every meeting, you know, those need to be in the back of your mind so that when you see a presentation, engage in a discussion, those are the things you're concerned with. You're defending the comp plan because that was a community effort, you know, to say this is where we want to go. I mean, state law, you know, authorizes it as, you know, municipal plan, policy documents. So, and we do our annual report. Every committee should be doing an annual report, some sort of assessment to see whether what they're doing, you know, complies with the comp plan, or if there's a problem that needs to come forward. They need to present. If they can't meet issues in the comp plan, they need to come here and say, we're having this problem. We want you to know about it. You know, things like that have to occur. So if it's going to run smoothly and if the community is going to be able to meet what it wants to do. So.
Or an extremely radical idea is that the Public Works Committee is the Plan Commission.
I don't know if state law. You'd have to look at what the.
I don't know if Public Works. I don't know if Public Works Committee is a statutory committee, is it?
I don't know.
I don't know if it's even. I can't remember if it's in our code of ordinances as being a standing committee, is it?
Yes.
It is.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably from a long time ago. Yeah.
But having gone to a number of Public Works meetings, they've got a full plate as it is.
Right.
So I wouldn't want to throw all of this on them also. And to think what planning does and what infrastructure services does really need to be separate. So that there can be an effective assessment. So just like, you know, a village board is, you know, a commission like this isn't, it's not under the board, village board. It's really an independent body, at least according to my reading of the statute. So, I mean, we can come up with things, we can decide that things aren't going the way they should in the village. And we're here to make recommendations to the board. I mean, they're the final decider. They have the liability. But, you know, it's we're not just an administrative body the way the Public Works Committee is or a Parks and Rec Committee is. So.
Just brainstorming, streamlining bureaucracy, that's all.
Yeah.
But I agree that if there is a major street or thoroughfare redevelopment and for a reason unbeknownst to this commission, a sidewalk is removed. I'm not saying it's the wrong idea, the wrong answer, but if it is and we don't know about it, it's something that we've discussed at length. And, you know, we've spent probably a good hour plus talking about sidewalks on West St. Joseph's, and if that's not going to happen or that's changed, that's a complete waste of our time to have talked about it.
Great.
Just to maybe enlighten you a little bit, for sidewalks for this year, there will be the West East St. Joseph is being reconstructed with sidewalks on the north side, and that's going to be the wider sidewalk, almost like a trail, 7-foot wide sidewalk. And then Longview, the road will be reconstructed from Clay to Delahunt, but sidewalks are going to be added from Webster down to Delahunt for the first phase, and the second phase would be then to continue that down to Libel Street, which obviously takes you into Doty School. So, and those are some of the recommendations out of the comp plan. So, it is to try to connect the community and utilize those. And it also falls within the bike path plan. So, it was an interesting discussion. I think it was a very good discussion with the residents when they the public information meetings. And then working with the residents to come up with a solution as far as how wide of a terrace versus, you know, an 8-foot to a 5-foot, and a little give and take. The meeting, the village board meeting just recently when Roselawn was talked about, sidewalk potentially on Roselawn, the first concerns are what side of the street? Well, it's so far out, we don't know that at this point. But it's certainly one of those connecting streets. So, you know, we can definitely keep you abreast on what's all going on in Public Works, because it does it.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's a Public Works Committee update every meeting.
Just
a
standing agenda item.
Right.
Parks, too, because parks should be included in that.
Yep.
You know, a new design standard or a new design of the entrance of Greenhouse Park is going to be taking place.
Yep.
You know, that's, again, it's why are we doing it? It's to create a better, more pedestrian-friendly, more usable entrance. So
I recommend vice versa, too. They should get our minutes.
Yep. So that's, you know, you don't think about this until you have the discussion.
Yeah.
What are the what's being dropped? We're not dropped, but it's not being communicated. So,
right.
You know, good agenda items. You know, we try to inform the Economic Development Committee of everything that's going on, because that's obviously their role, too.
Sure.
Maybe we should, you know, just a standing, more or less, just go through the committees with what they have done for the month.
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
And maybe to just pass by any potential columns here, sidewalk or the pedestrian connection on St. Joseph is going to happen. It's just, again, it's identifying what the needs are. And President Raffer said at last week's board meeting that we wouldn't want a developer to pay for a sidewalk to be implemented only to be ripped out and put a trail in its place a year later. It's not business friendly.
No. Not saying the answer is wrong.
Right.
I just want to hear about it.
Right.
I have a memo from the village today said that there are no plans at all for that trail to go in on St. Joseph.
I guess we can't.
So there's a disconnect between what the president's telling me and what the clerk is telling me.
We don't need to get into that. You guys can figure that out on your own. Tonight, at least we don't need to get into that. We can get clarification on that at some point. Okay, what is the next meeting date?
April.
Are we satisfied with the agenda items that we talked about tonight? Zoning code update, and then sounds like we're going to get a standing committee report or whatever else on there.
We're we hear about the priorities that the board has for us.
Priorities that the board has for us, yep. So we got a checklist of work to do. I think we can really go all in on the zoning code thing, too. I think that'll be a good 2017. There's a lot of work to be done there, so. And by work, I mean we give Trevor work to do, and then he has to come back and talk to us about it.
Work for Trevor.
Provide advice and consent. Okay, great. If there's nothing else to add to the agenda, item number 10, adjournment, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we are adjourned.